is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, lots to get to on a Thursday. What's going on? In fact, I can't wait to get to it. Nice to have you here. I am Jim Rome. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you want to buy a home or refinance your current home, Rocket can. Wild, wild morning. A wild morning. I thought that I would normally start. In fact, I know that I would normally start with a recap of last night's NBA action. However, there is a lot of SEC bombs being dropped and going off right about now. So that's where I'm going to start, and I will get there momentarily. The Nictator with the red ass in May. Jimbo Fisher with a flamethrower. I mean, it is on, and it's awesome. So that's the first thing I'm going to get to. In the meantime, though, your telephone is toll-free. I've got two interviews, so not three, but two. So you've got lots of opportunities to get through. 1-800-636-8686. 1-800-636-8686. Hit me up on Twitter at Jim Rome, if you don't mind. You can also email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. If you've got thoughts on what's going on right now between Nick Saban and Jimbo Fisher, Dion's in the middle of this, Miami basketball, all of that, do not wait on me. Jump in. Get in here. Coming up at 9:40 Pacific time, or in about 40 minutes from right now, a five-time MLB All-Star, Adam Jones. Second hour is wide open. Top of hour number three, Golf Channel's Rex Hoggard will be joining us. And I've got plenty of time to get you up in here. And keep in mind, there is a smack-off upcoming. It is smack-off season. You need to qualify. Our smack-off profiles are not starting just yet, but that does not mean that you should not be trying to call and get in. Get a golden ticket. Qualify for smack-off number 28 on June 24th. If you're not going to be in it, at least get that day off. If you want to be in it, take your shot. $5,000 to the winner. All right, big news this morning. It is mid-May. Mid-May, but Nick Saban already has the red ass. And I mean, when does he not have a serious case of the red ass, right? He always does. However, last night's rant was peak, just beat an FCS school by 60 and fans were leaving early. Red ass. That's how much of a red ass. Last night's rant was the kind of bile that you would normally hear after a bad practice in September when the Nictator gets asked how good his team is. But instead of talking about rat poison or lecturing the media or the fans about how they should act, he was going on about five letters. Just five letters. N-I-L-A-N-M. N-I-L-A-N-M. Remember when SEC coaches used to kind of look the other way, or at least not take flamethrowers to each other? Yeah, well, those days are now officially over. It's done. That pact has been shredded. That code no longer exists. It's over. It'll never be like that ever again after today. Now, it actually kind of started back in February when Lane Kiffin got off this great line.
I didn't know if Texas A&M was going to incur a luxury tax and how much they paid for their signing class.
I mean, that's vintage Lane. A great line. Great line. How do I know it's a great line? I know a great line when I hear a great line. How do I know it's a great line? Because Fisher got a case of this cereal ass when he heard it. And when Jimbo's red ass flares up, and it did this morning, and it's awesome, I'll get to it. But he's already on record. Like, when he gets a flare-up of the red ass, we all win. Who will ever forget him going in, going ham on sliced bread on Bro Bible back in the day?
This is garbage. It pisses me off. And here, it comes from a site called Bro Bible by a guy named Sliced Bread. So it's written on the internet as gospel. When I first heard it, I laughed. I said, oh, yeah, what a clown. I mean, somebody named Sly, who made it up. Love to see who Sliced Bread is and put it out there with Sliced Bread. Let me find out where it comes from. And Sliced Bread. And Sliced Bread. And Sliced Bread.
So my man's like, wait, who is this guy, Sliced Bread? And he just put it out on the internet. So when Jimbo's got something else to get worked up about, he will. He'll go. And his old boss, Nicholas, opened up another can last night, which brings us to where we are right now. Nicholas opened up a can at an event with local business leaders in Birmingham. Check out the Nictator.
I mean, we were second in recruiting last year. A&M was first. A&M bought every player on their team, made a deal for name, image, and likeness. All right, we didn't buy one player. All right, but I don't know if we're going to be able to sustain that in the future because more and more people are doing it. So it's tough.
He just came right out and he said it. They bought every player. Albie, one more time. Run that back. They bought every player.
I mean, we were second in recruiting last year. A&M was first. A&M bought every player on their team. Made a deal for name, image, and likeness. All right, we didn't buy one player. All right, but I don't know if we're going to be able to sustain that in the future because more and more people are doing it. So it's tough.
Not only did they buy every player, we didn't buy one player. So he didn't just bring a gun to a knife fight. He brought a surface-to-air missile to a knife fight. A Scud. A daisy cutter. Hell, he just rolled a tank right over Jimbo, backed over him, and then dragged him all the way back to Tuscaloosa. There is so much in there, and it's all hilarious. First of all, it's hilarious that Nick Saban is complaining about something being unfair or that somebody's got an unfair advantage or there's an unfair playing field. Nick Saban is complaining about that. You want my response to Saban going in on Fisher? Here it is. Wah! Wah! Listen to him calling out A&M for buying every player on their team, because he would never, ever do anything like that. He would never, ever buy a team. He would never even buy a single player. Hell, not a single player. You know why? Because Nicholas and Alabama are about everything that's right in college ball. Integrity, honesty. There are no shortcuts. There are no hacks. Just the process. Just the process.
Just the process.
Those other dudes who are kicking our ass suddenly in recruiting, they don't have a process. Well, they do. Their process is just stroking checks. Straight cash, homie.
Straight cash, homie.
Well, we're playing by the rules of the NIL game. The rest of them, no names mentioned. Fisher, Dion, Miami basketball, etc., etc. They're just stacking cash while we're here stacking integrity, honesty, and molding young men. Good one, Nick. I got to be honest. I mean, like this guy, the Nictator, he is the GOAT. And I respect the dude a hell of a lot, in fact. I just don't like him a hell of a lot because he's not a hella likable guy. At least I didn't until right now. Because now that that dude has spit all that fire, the dudes that he's coming for are looking to give the old man the hands. Starting with Fisher, who you knew was going to snap when that worked its way back to him. And he did not disappoint. He took an absolute flame torch to his former boss.
It's despicable that we got to sit there at this level of ball and say these things to defend the people of this organization, the kids, 17-year-old kids, and their families. It's amazing. Some people think they're God. Go dig into how God did his deal. You may find out about a guy that a lot of things you don't want to know. We built him up to be the czar of football. Go dig into his past or anybody that's ever coached with him. You can find out anything you want to find out, what he does and how he does it. And it's despicable. It really is. And it's a shame we have to sit up here and have this conversation about things we do. And it's personal to us? Yes, it is. It's personal to A&M. It's personal to our players. It's personal to our coaches and everybody involved. And I know the guy. Know him really well. It's amazing that we're allowed to do those things. It's really despicable.
Oh, hell yes. Man, I am here for it. It is despicable. This guy's sitting up here like he's God. Go look into how he's done it. Go look into the way God has done it. Oh, hell yes. This is almost as good as anything that we're going to see on the field in the coming year in the SEC. I know this already. Of course he's unloading on Gramps. We already knew the legendary red ass that Fisher had. And then what do you expect? When his former boss comes right out and says he bought his entire team, you knew that serial ass was coming from Fisher this morning. And you know what the best thing of all to me in this whole thing is? The best thing of all was Saban knew exactly what he was doing. It was premeditated. None of this is an accident. He was not shooting from the hip. He didn't go off all half-cocked. It wasn't a case where he didn't know that he was on the record. He knew exactly what he was saying. He knew exactly what he was doing. This dude never rolls without an agenda. He never says or does anything without intent or a purpose. This was not something that was recorded that he didn't know about. It's not like where he went on this little Debbie bender and lost his mind and didn't know that he was being recorded. He knew he had a microphone in his hand. He's always strategic. So if you ask yourself, why? What did he get out of that? Why did he do that? I'll tell you why. A couple of reasons. Number one, Texas A&M to him are a bunch of money-chucking frauds. He wants you to know that kids are not going there because they think they can get better or win or go to the NFL. He wants you to know that he thinks they're going there because they're getting paid to go there. And number two, and more importantly, if you Alabama boosters don't start ponying up big bucks, I'm going to be really pissed. Actually, I'm already really pissed. And if you dopes don't get off your asses and start scratching fat checks, the losses will be on you, not me, because I can't do this on my own. You boosters and you business people better start going hard on NIL, because I'm not going to sit here and watch my former assistant kick my ass in recruiting. Those dumbasses at College Station can't even get a 10-win season, but you're letting them kick our asses in NIL. Snap out of it. Shake yourselves. Scratch the check. Do your part. Do your job. I mean, of course the guy can't come right out and tell everybody, start writing checks. But if that's the conclusion that every Crimson Tide fan in that room and on the internet are going to come to, Saban is not going to turn down that money. You see, his beef is not with NIL. It's with the fact that he's getting beaten in recruiting thanks to NIL. Saban said that one of the problems with NIL is, quote, coaches trying to create an advantage for themselves. End of quote. Are you kidding me with that, Nick? Isn't that the whole job of a coach? You're supposed to create an advantage for yourself and your program? Is that not what coaches do in every single aspect of their job? Create advantages? I'll tell you what. What's funnier than to hear coaches complain about NIL? Because they don't even know what to complain about, and they end up falling back on some crap about college sports and amateurism as if we're in the 1920s and not the 2020s. And of course, Saban went there too. He said that he fears that at some point it's all going to come back. Quote, they're just going to say, we're going to have to pay players. End of quote. You know, you listen to Saban, that's like the end of the world, right? And how funny is it to hear a coach who's being paid say that players being paid would wreck the whole thing. Fine for me to get paid millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars, but if the kids get something, it's going to ruin the game. Did I miss something? And is the coach now coaching for free? Is this dude coaching for free? Is he doing those insurance commercials for free? Is he staying at Alabama because that's the best place for him to develop as a person and a coach? Of course not. He's there because he agreed to an $85 million contract extension. What I'm saying is, pretty bleeping rich for a pretty bleeping rich dude to be complaining that other people are making money at the thing that only coaches have made money on. rich as hell and awesome as hell. So Saban fired the first shots, bazooka blasts actually, and then Mount Jimbo finally erupted again. Hey, Dion, where are you? What you got, Dion? You're next up. Jimbo. Jimbo, accused by the Nictator of buying everyone, insists that he's never bought anyone.
We never bought anybody. No rules were broken. Nothing was done wrong. It was all in the way we do things, the ethics in which we do things. And these families, it's despicable that a reputable head coach could come out and say this when he doesn't get his way or things don't go his way. The narcissist in him doesn't allow those things to happen. And it's ridiculous. But when he's not on top, and the parody in college football he's been talking about, go talk to coaches who coach for him. You'll find out all the parody. Go dig into wherever he's been. You can find out anything.
You know what else is also hilarious? Jimbo trying to get up on that high horse. The two of these guys both. I mean, it's so great. Jimbo trying to get up on that high horse. Yo, Jimbo, have you tried to run down your old boss? Have you tried to track him down and find out what's going on and what's up?
Have you had any contact with Nick since?
No. Oh, he's called.
You just didn't take the call?
Not going to. We're done.
And
he shows you who he is.
And then I just wanted to...
He's the greatest ever, huh?
And then I just wanted
when
to...
When you got all the advantages, It's easy.
So good. I don't know, Jimbo. Maybe it's just me, but you sound pretty disappointed in the old Nictator. Is that the fact?
How disappointing was it to hear that from him, you know, in terms of, you know, a mentor type to you?
It's disappointing.
Well.
No, it wasn't. No, listen, you coach with people like Bobby Bowden and learn how to do things. You coach with other people and learn how not to do things. There's a reason people don't go, I ain't went back and worked for him with opportunities.
I'll tell you something else that's so great. I mentioned this at the very top, that there used to be like this kind of code, wink, wink, that guys would look the other way. And I said, that changed forever. It's not like that. Bruce Feldman has a great tweet. Bruce Feldman tweeted, quote, spoke to a former SEC assistant on the Saban-Jimbo blowup. And it just means more land. Quote, there has always been an honor amongst thieves mantra in the league. And those two just called each other's wives fat to a global audience. Such a good tweet. I mean, in effect, that's what went down. In other words, Jimbo's saying, hey, man, don't you call me a cheat and don't you call my wife fat.
You can call me anything you want to call me. You ain't calling me a cheat. I don't cheat and I don't lie. So I learned that when I was a kid. If you did, the old man slapped you side of the head. Maybe somebody should have slapped him. You can call me anything.
Incredible. Maybe somebody should have slapped him. You know how it is. Like, for so long, Nick could essentially, because he's Nick, say and do whatever the hell he wanted and get the red ass. And what can anybody say or do? Until he got loose and just flat out said it. They bought their team. And what he's saying is he cheats and lies. And Jimbo's saying the two things I don't do is cheat and lie. Because I learned as a kid that if you cheat and lie, you're going to get slapped upside the head. So maybe somebody should do that to him.
Oh.
Man, you find me something better than this. Find me something better than this. And like I said, the best part of all to me is Nick knew exactly what he was doing. Like, so why would Nick even bother calling Jimbo? Jimbo said, I'm not taking that phone call. We're done. Jimbo's probably like, we're done. D-U-N. Done. Hey, coach, Nick's on the other line. Tell him we're done. Hey, Nick, why are you even on the other line? You knew exactly what you were doing. You knew what you were doing when you spit into that microphone. How were you going to explain that away? You said he bought his team. 1-800-636-8686. The entire class. Hey, my class was perfect. We did it the right way. We understand NIL. We play by the rules. However, not them. Well, not Deion either, who apparently paid a mil for a player, according to Nick. And then he dragged Miami basketball into it, too. How are we going to make that right? He's despicable. Dear Romy, Nick Saban is a disgusting act. Signed, Jimbo.
That is a disgusting act.
He actually said despicable, not disgusting, and he said it several times. Lots of despicables and lots of ain'ts. I'm telling you, man, the guy knew exactly what he was doing. Exactly what he was doing. Dear Jim, we just heard Jimbo Fisher repeatedly mentioning sliced bread. Can you please help us find out where we can get some? Sincerely, Cake Griffin and DeAndre Jordan.
Sliced bread.
Paul in Albany. Were the 2012 Clippers looking more like Blob City and not Lob City? What's that got to do with anything at all, Paul? Why are you dragging Cake Griffin into this?
Sliced bread.
Or DeAndre. As good as those two glosses are, what do they have to do with anything at all? Like, Cake Griffin is just minding his own business this morning. Probably reading his morning paper or eating his morning red velvet cupcakes. And you're dragging him into this. Why? Dear Jim, I feel so sorry for Nick Saban. That dude is at such a disadvantage. Signed, Baby Jessica, starting life in a freaking well. Casey in New Hampshire. You know, that was the one thread that I thought was dead. That really was the one thread that I thought was dead. I was so wrong. All right, so if you want to weigh in on this, this is incredible to me. It's just so great that Nick Saban rolls out, lobs a few Molotov cocktails into the proceedings. Knows exactly what he's doing. Knows exactly what he's doing. And then Jimbo Fisher gave us exactly what we wanted. And now the rules of engagement have changed forever. No more wink, wink. No more look the other way. And just one more thought as I go to break. Jimbo Fisher coming out and saying, yeah, the so-called czar, like the god. Why don't you go look into how the god became the god? Why don't you talk to anybody who worked there? I mean, to say the gloves are off would be a great understatement.
We're done. These
old guys are in the cage doing all the things in the cage you're not allowed to do. They're fish hooking, eye gouging, blasting each other in the trachea, biting, kicking each other in the package. They're doing all the things that you're not allowed to do in MMA. And it's awesome. I think I saw Jimbo Fisher get his fish hook into the old man's mouth. He's dragging him across the cage, gouging out his eyes.
There's a reason people don't go, I ain't went back and worked for him.
There is a reason why you ain't gone back to work for him, Jimbo. I get it. All right, when we come back, it's going to be a short break, but or a short segment. I've got Adam Jones coming up at 9:40, and then plenty of time for you to get in here. I want your thoughts on this, your reaction to it. I gave you my thoughts. Now I need yours. And Golden State, by the way, looks very much like Golden State, right? Really impressive last night. Dell Technologies wants to celebrate all your hard work with these Small Business Month specials. Get great value offers on powerful laptops, desktops, and servers with Windows 11 Pro starting at $499 and top monitors and docks, all with easy financing options through Dell Financial Services. It is the perfect time to upgrade so you and your team can stay secure from anywhere at all. Call a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL, 877-ASK-DELL. Refresh your business tech with these Small Business Month specials. Once again, Dell is recommending Windows 11 Pro for Business. Call 877-ASK-DELL.
We're done.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Yeah. So this segment's going to be short because that last segment was so awesome and so fat. And was awesome not because of anything I did. Again, Nick Saban getting on the phone to try to call Jimbo Fisher is so great. And Fisher not taking the phone call is even better. Saying, no, we're done. Like, are you going to really tell me that Nick was going to try and spin that? That Nick was going to try and tell him, hey, by the way, I didn't know. That's not what I meant. Hey, Jimbo, you know what the media does. You know how things are. I mean, come on. Is there anybody who matters in the world who at this point doesn't know that everybody's on record every time they wake up in the morning and they look into their telephone? What are you going to try and tell me? That I was on a stage talking to some local business people I didn't know? I mean, does anybody buy that anymore? Has anybody bought that for the last 15 years?
That's
You're
ridiculous.
Always on, no matter who you are. Know your room. And you know what your room is? The freaking planet. The universe. Everything you say, especially if you're somebody like that, or even lesser than that, is a matter of record. Your room is the planet. Write that down. Know your room. Your room is the planet. And if anybody would know that, it's Nick. So I'd love to know why he was trying to call Jimbo. How he was going to make that right. He knew what he was doing. And if he didn't, and I'm going to suggest that he did, but if he didn't, he's either the most arrogant guy ever or the most out-of-touch guy ever or both. And I don't buy that. I mean, I'll listen to the argument that he's the most arrogant guy ever, but he's not out of touch. He knew. He knew. So my question is, why even call? Yeah, that bomb I dropped on your head in your program? Yeah, let me explain that. Yeah, no need. No need. At Gordon Hathorn tweets, Saban needed the tower of beef next to him when he went off. Isn't that the truth? And then Fisher needed one on either side of him when he responded. Spencer and Reno tweets, can't we all just get along? We're all SEC family.
Family.
Signed, Coach Kelly. Not anymore, we're not.
He's the greatest ever.
Hey, by the way, we never were. That's the beauty of this whole thing, though. We never were, but it was always kind of understood. You know, there was an honor or a code among thieves, an honor or a code among cheaters, an honor or a code among scumbags. Not anymore.
We're done.
Not anymore. Chris in Milwaukee writes, Jimmy, that dude who squeezed a mill from Dion just got away with highway robbery.
Highway robbery.
Still waiting for Dion and his official response, but he already called it a lie. Rome, I can't believe Jimbo Fisher going on and acting like a saint and a victim. The gall of this guy. Regards to OJ saying Ron and Nicole killed him. Eric in Castle Rock.
Ron and Nicole
That's
were
part of it
physically
too.
Dead, and it's almost like they killed me.
I mean, I did spend some time on Nick because Nick fired the first shots, but Jimbo on his high horse is equally hilarious. It really is. Both these dudes are acting like their programs are absolutely perfect, pristine. Neither of them have done anything wrong. Let me tell you about these two dudes. Him on his high horse. The two of them are in the ultimate match race. It's a two-horse race. It's a match race between the two of these guys and their pursuit of perfection and how pristine they are. All right, when we come back, I'm going to change up, talk a little baseball, but I would definitely like your thoughts on this. I mean, if you can't react to this topic, you've got no reaction in you at all. Honestly. 1-800-636-8686. Adam Jones will be joining me next, and then the entire second hour is wide open for anything you want. But this is easily a topic that could carry the entire program today and tomorrow. Two of these dudes just going off.
It's despicable.
Is it despicable, Jimbo?
It's despicable.
Who's more despicable? I got it, Alvin. I just want to know one thing. Who's more despicable to you, Jimbo? Nick or sliced bread? Time for a sports update. Here it is.
Sliced bread.
Live from Southern California, This is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
So I'm efforting Adam Jones, good friend of the program. Have not spoken to him in a while, so I'm looking forward to that. He's supposed to be joining us any moment now. In the meantime, because of Jimbo Fisher and the Nictator, I can't even get over how good this is. Jimbo Fisher with the scorched earth policy, but Nick did throw the first punch. Fired the first shots. Started that fight. Because of that, we have not even gotten to the NBA yet. Golden State looking very good last night. Klay and Steph were not shooting the ball very well in the beginning, and it just didn't matter. That's what makes them so dangerous. They don't need those guys to light it up to do damage. And they win game one really impressively, setting up game two in the Eastern Conference Finals tonight. Who do you like? Miami and Boston. How you playing that one, clones? It's okay to talk about it. It's no longer taboo. We can talk about these things openly. How you playing that one? Boston is +3.5 if you like the value. Still waiting to find out whether or not they're going to have certain players at their disposal. Al Horford was in the protocol, so I don't see that really happening. Although they are lessening or loosening the... They're not as stringent with the protocol anymore. So he may or may not. Want to wait and see on Smart. He's listed as probable. I don't know. Miami's looking awfully good. However, if you like Boston and you believe they're going to bounce back and you think Smart will go, you can get some value. 3.5 if you like Boston. That's kind of attractive to me. I don't feel great about it, but I would rather have the action than not have the action. So I'm actually leaning that way myself. Now, if you're one of those people who thinks, hey, Rome, every time I do what you say, I get my ass kicked, I lose, fade me. It's actually a pretty good policy. I would. In fact, I fade myself. I sometimes think, okay, let's look at it. Let's analyze it. What am I going to do? All right, I'm going to do this. No, I'm not. I'm not doing this because I just told myself to do it. I fade me. And it works too. Everybody's got a system. Like Nick Saban's got a system. Call other people cheaters and think they won't get pissed and think that Jimbo Fisher won't react like this.
All right, we didn't buy one player.
Not one. Much less the entire recruiting class.
A&M bought every player on their team.
He just said, that's an incredible statement. They bought every player on their team.
A&M bought every player on their team.
Not they paid $1 million for that guy, like Dion over there. Not the Miami basketball team who got dragged into this whole thing. They, quote, bought every player on their team.
A&M bought every player on their team.
And you know what's amazing about that? Nick apparently did not buy one player on his team. Not one.
All right, we didn't buy one player.
But they bought every player. And I'm just going to ask one more time. Are you going to tell me that he could say something like that and that was not going to come back? That he was just going to call up his former assistant and make that right? How are you going to reconcile this statement? They bought every player on their team, and we did not buy one.
All right, we didn't buy one player.
One of my favorite things ever. There's a case of the mid-May red ass, and then there's World War III right there. Nothing better than the SEC. Man, I love it. All right, your telephone number is toll-free. Let me open it up to you because I'm efforting Adam Jones. We'll find him at some point. 1-800-636-8686. Use the telephone number. The Smack Off is coming up on June 24th. If you want to take part, you need an invite. If you've already won the event, you have a lifetime exemption. If you're already in the field, you know this already. If you have to ask yourself whether or not you're in the field, the answer is no, you are not. The good news is you can play your way in. You can get a golden ticket. Why is it so important? Why do you want to be a part of it? Number one, most important day of the year on this show. You could argue that this is one of the most important shows ever, and that's the most important day of the year on the show. It's the 28th year we've done this. Oh, and the $5,000 doesn't hurt. $5,000 never sucks. But to be the best, you have to beat the best. So take your shot. You never know. Let me talk about Golden State for a minute. I want to get something very clear about last night's game. Luka was not out drinking before last night's game. Luka was not getting blasted before that game. There was not that going on. The photo circulating on social media yesterday of him with a beer was not taken yesterday. If you thought that was real and that yesterday was when that picture was taken and that he did not have his head in the game, if that's what you think, this guy was drinking before the game, didn't have his head in the game, you need to pull your head out your ass. Just as I know that some of you idiots think that you're actually in better shape than Luka and that he's, well, how do I put this? Fat?
Fat?
I mean, no. This dude's not shredded. He's not a chiseled Dadonis.
He looks like a Dadonis.
He doesn't. But it does not mean that he was getting blasted and or baked or getting his grub on before game one of the Western Conference Finals. And saying that he was, and that's why he played the way he did, is one of the dumber things I've heard in a long time. Further evidence that most, even if they're nobody at all, can say or do whatever they want without any consequence at all. And further evidence that people like Nick Saban can think that he can say or do anything at all without any consequence.
All right, we didn't buy one player.
But they bought all their players. Anyway, back to Luka quickly. Luka did not run into a beer or five before that game. He ran into Andrew Wiggins during that game. That's what happened. And as dominant as he was in abusing the Suns in Game 7, there was none of that last night against Golden State. In fact, Luka didn't do much at all. And he had to bust his ass for everything he did get. 20 points, 7 turnovers, and a minus 30 rating. A minus 30. And he came out of the game with a sore shoulder and a carved up face. And not to be that guy, but if that's how it's going to go for that guy, that series is already over. One game in. Not to be that guy. And it might be, though, because the Dubs aren't the proverbial cone that Patrick Beverley said that Chris Paul is. In fact, that was a defensive clinic they put on last night. They did what nobody else has done in the postseason. They slowed down a one-man wrecking crew, and they made him look like just another dude. They made him look like what a lot of you clones think he actually is. Slow, fat, and unskilled. Again, a really dumb take and not accurate. But so is this notion that Golden State does not have anybody who can match up with Luka because Andrew Wiggins did a pretty good job. In fact, a damn good job at that. Klay Thompson had this to say about Wiggins and the job that he did on Luka.
Started with Andrew. He was moving them puppies tonight. I just think our ball pressure and our help defense was spectacular tonight.
Klay is so great. He is just one of those dudes. Whenever he opens his mouth, something good happens. He was moving them puppies tonight.
He was moving them puppies tonight.
He was. Damn straight. He was moving them puppies tonight.
He was moving them puppies tonight.
Moving them all 94 feet. Picking up Luka with them puppies everywhere. And just sticking to this cat. And if that's all he did last night, that would have been a great night for Wiggins. But it's not. In fact, far from it. Because when Steph and Klay could not hit the ocean in the first quarter, it was Wiggins who brought the offense as well. So what I'm saying right here is huge shout out to Wiggins for last night because that's a dude who has taken a ton of crap over his career and then he showed up big in the biggest game of his career. He had 19 points on 17 shots. Luka had 20 points on 18 shots. So Wiggins and Luka are a wash. The Warriors will take that every single night. Every night, and then cackle their way back to the NBA Finals. And as great of a job as Wiggins did on Luka, you know, no one dude is going to lock that dude up all by himself. He did have some help. And anyone who knows anything about this game and this team knows not only can Golden State light you up offensively, but shock of all shocks, they can shut you down defensively. That's actually a really good defensive team.
Standing.
Look where he came from, Reg.
Look at this.
All the way in the lane to get to that block.
And if it wasn't Draymond Green, it looked like Stephen Curry may have gotten it.
And then in the second half, when Curry and company finally did get rolling from deep, things got pretty horrible for Dallas because there were moments like this.
Curry snags the rebound, pushes tempo, comes up to the right, dribbling through a Looney screen, draws two defenders, gets to the corner, over the shoulder, throws it back out to half court. There's Draymond. Grabbed it back to Curry for three. It's up and good! Curry relocated into a triple. Timeout, Dallas. The Warriors take a 17-point lead.
That audio does not even do that justice. If you saw that play, you know how incredible that was. In fact, it was hilarious. Steph was not even throwing it to Draymond. He admitted as much. He just threw it over his head. But Draymond ends up with it and then moves it right back to Steph, who drops the dagger and the shimmy, and the Warrior faithful lose their collective bleep. Like I said, hilarious. Unless you're the Mavs. And considering Golden State is back to doing ish like that, and making Luka look ordinary, it could be a short series. Listen, I understand that losing game one is what Dallas does. Losing game one is what Dallas does, and Dallas is resilient, and they bounce back, and that Luka and his crew could not have shot the ball any worse than they did, and that's going to get better. I know this. I understand that. I can even argue that the Mavs have some matchups that favor them, and they can exploit them, and they'll have success. I know this crew is not looking for a place to lie down and die, that they're not just going to shut it down and choke on the big stage like the choke god Chris Paul and the Suns did in their own barn. I know all this. But I also know it's been a minute or two since they've been in this position, and Golden State's been there before, and they look like they never left. Serious statement last night by the Dubs. Adam Jones will join me next segment. If you're on hold, stay there. Phone calls after that. Do not go anywhere.